Blog Talk Radio.
I've learned how to live holy. I've learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer.
All my heartaches, all my
Praise the Lord. That was some powerful. When I See Jesus by Douglas Miller. There's nothing more to say. He said it all. Thank the Lord for that song today. Well, welcome to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we are empowering souls for destiny. Our founding host is Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and I am your co-host, Sister Ruby Larry, for today. A time of reflection is a radio broadcast that will encourage, enrich, enhance, enlighten, and empower listeners to trust God in every area of their lives, naturally and spiritually, and to pursue their God-given destiny without apologies. We are mandated to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we stand firmly upon our foundational scriptures and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And I read out King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We air daily Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Our Saturday segment airs at 5 a.m. Pacific time with Minister Billy Burns, and early Sunday morning prayer at 7 a.m. Pacific time. It's a corporate prayer. Everybody is welcome to come on and pray as the Lord lead us. We're normally on a half an hour to 30, 40, no more than 45, 50 minutes as the Lord lead us. Tune in expecting to hear and receive fresh oil from God Almighty. The call-in number is 858-683-1334. It's for all of the segments. Please email us at newdestinyministries54@gmail.com or mail any prayer request or praise report you would like us to share on the broadcast to New Destiny Ministries, P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Also, we invite you to like our New Destiny Ministry page on Facebook and Twitter at New Destiny 54. Listen online also at www.newdestinyministry.com to hear our archived messages. We're just so excited and grateful that our Lord and Savior has allowed us. We appreciate and are thankful for your tremendous support of the godly men and women that willingly share the anointed, powerful word of God with each of you and with Evangelist Bernard and me, that call in and those that visit this broadcast by internet or in the chat room. We're very excited for our listeners calling and being supportive of this broadcast and Evangelist Adrian Bernard. Don't sign off, because God has a rhema word just for you and me. And with that, we're going to turn it over until our founder and host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, at home in New Orleans. Evangelist Adrian Bernard.
Amen, amen, amen. The scripture says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Hallelujah. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, I bless the Lord for that scripture today. I thank him for being a great God. I thank him for being an awesome God. Truly, God is awesome in all his ways. Once again, I greet you in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. I'm so excited about God. I'm so excited about him being my Lord. I'm so excited about him being my way maker. I'm so excited about God being who he is. Hallelujah. There's no other God like him. You can search the whole world over, and you'll never find none like our God. Amen. I thank each and every one of you all for tuning in today. I'm always excited when we have an opportunity for this young man to come and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I anticipate and I expect a move of God every time he comes and grace us with his presence. And that's none other than our speaker for the hour, and that's the Honorable Bishop Jesse E. Grant Sr. He is the husband of one wife for over 43 years. Amen. He's been preaching and teaching the gospel all over the United States and abroad. Amen. He is a father of two adult children. He is a grandfather. Amen. He is a shepherd. He is a leader. He loves the people of God. And I tell you, we have come to love him and embrace him. And we just stay attentive on every word that he said. He's an anointed man of God. He don't get any pleasure from titles, but he gets pleasure by living what the word of God says. He gets pleasure in about expounding this word to encourage the people of God, to encourage souls everywhere he goes. So I'm always excited about him. He's better known as the bishop that just talks out loud. Amen. And he pulls so many inspiring, I tell you, encouraging posts on Facebook and Twitter, and we just love him. Amen. So with no further ado, we're going to let him come on and open up with the word of prayer. And truly, if there ever was a time that we need to know that prayer still works, it is now. But you'll never know if it works if you never pray. The only way you'll know that prayer works is you have to pray. Amen. We thank God for Pastor Beatrice Martin. We see her on the line today, and she ministered to us on yesterday. And I tell you, we just have been having a wonderful time on this line on Tuesday. Minister Maurice Montier out of Hammond, Louisiana, ministered a word to us. And on Monday, I was able to say a little something. So, again, we're continuing on with this wonderful topic. Prayer still works. So we like to present to some and introduce to others the Honorable Bishop Jesse E. Grant of Faithful Tabernacle Church there in Evanston, Illinois. Amen. God bless you, Bishop. So great to have you on the line with us today. God bless you.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. Certainly, again, as always, we are ecstatic. We're happy to once again be able to address you and your wonderful listening audience. And as always, we are very grateful and humbled to be able to be invited back to come and to share what thus saith the Lord unto this vast audience that you are blessed to have. Certainly, before we get underway, I'm ecstatic as well over the fact that the Lord has blessed you to make your pilgrimage back to the place where you were born, in New Orleans. We thank God that he gave you a safe passage, that he went before you to make easy access for your way.
Yes.
So we are just really, really excited about what God has done for you, and certainly what God is going to do for you in these latter years of your life. These, in fact, are going to be the very best years that you've ever experienced in life and walking with the Lord. I don't want to get too deep into that because you know me by now. It doesn't take much to get my pot boiling. Ever since I began to look at the text and look at your theme being that prayer still works, looked like everything in the world that the enemy could do to try to prevent this time coming to pass. Certainly he's tried his level best to do just that. Let me testify for just a moment. Oftentimes I'm very limited in terms of being too transparent with people because many times you don't know who's listening and you don't know the state of their thinking. But I promise you, this has been just a very excruciating time for me. I don't mind admitting that. And the reason I don't mind admitting that is because I know emphatically that the Word of God says that all things indeed work together for the good of them that love him and for those who are called according to his purpose. So I'm just excited about what I know what the outcome is going to be, because it's going to certainly be better than its beginning. It was so phenomenal to me, all the things that I've been dealing with for the past couple of weeks, even down to just really about 2 hours ago. And I was telling my wife, I said, if it was not a shame, I would call Evangelist Bernard and tell her, I apologize, please forgive me, me, do what you want to do to me, but forgive me for canceling on you at the last moment. And just about ago, I came down in my office and I repented before God for that, and I said, Lord, you've got to allow me the strength and the grace to be able to give these thy people what thus saith the Lord. And so the Lord quieted me down and calmed my spirit down, so now I'm ready to go. That's our God. It's always a factor that I've learned, and I've preached it down through the years to my congregations that I've been blessed to pastor, that whenever the enemy comes in such a profound, dramatic way that it just kind of shakes your very foundation, you can rest assured you're really on the brink of your greatest miracle, your greatest experiences in God. So before I get off into all of that, because I've got a word for you personally from the Lord, and I want to into this before I go any further. But Father, it's again in the precious name of Jesus. Again, God, we thank you for this grand privilege and opportunity, God, to yet be in the land of the living. We thank you, God, that you once again spared our lives and have allowed our golden moments to roll on a little while longer. So to this end, God, we are grateful. We appreciate you. We say much obliged. We pay homage unto thy great name. Now, God, we ask you as never before that you would do several things for us in this broadcast. Number one, we pray, God, that you would hide us behind the cross, that you be glorified, that the people of God be edified and Satan be horrified. Then, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. This we do pray. God, you got to get the glory out of this. Jesus' name, amen. We look at your theme, prayer still works. So let me be a little bit of a tad bit of elementary with us today, because I think that it's crucial in this hour that we really understand the totality of the dynamics of prayer. We've always heard and have been taught that we ought to pray and how we ought to pray and what we ought to pray for and et cetera. We've been told that we are where we are because grandmama prayed for us. Somebody prayed for me. I believe one of the songwriters wrote a song. Somebody had me on their mind. They must have prayed for me. That's wonderful. But now it becomes very critical and crucial that we as individual believers understand in totality. I'm not discarding what anyone has been raised with and what you have been taught, what your pastors, your leaders have taught you about prayer, but it's my opportunity now to perhaps remind us, that's the word I'm looking for, to remind us, to give us a gentle reminder of really what the dynamics of prayer is really all about. So it takes me to the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, when the question was asked by those that had gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, and they wanted to understand emphatically, they wanted to really come to a place of understanding, what is this business of prayer? So he offers them in verse, in the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, he opens up in verse 1 by saying, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, what the Lord is addressing here is that when you're going to pray, don't do it for the mere fact of showing people how eloquent you can be in your prayers, how you can stage them, how you can format them, how you can tune it up, how you can deliver it in all of that, so that people can turn around and say, oh, my God, oh, you just blessed my soul by that prayer and what have you. Well, if you're doing it for the unreasonable or unrational reasons, if you're doing it so that people can pat you on the back, salute you, and give you all of these accolades, then the Lord is saying you've done it for the wrong reasons. Let your motives be pure what you do. Don't do it to be seen of men. That term means recognized of men, applauded, and have your ego inflated because you said such a marvelous, wonderful prayer, all of that. Because if you do it for that reason, you're going to receive your reward. In other words, your prayer may not be answered. You're just going to have to just simply deal with the fact that the people have applauded you. It takes me back in my mind to when I first began seminary training at Moody Bible Institute. In one of the classes that I took, one of the professors challenged the class as an assignment that we had to write out a prayer. We had to write it from A through Z and then put in the amen. After which, the next time the class met, each person had perhaps 5 or 7 minutes to present the prayer, but we had to read it accordingly. So when we read the prayer, then the rest of the class would sit back and pull apart the prayer, asking, why did you ask this, why did you say that, et cetera, et cetera. So it was then that he was trying to ingrain within the students the necessity of understanding the components of prayer. All right? So I'm going to get into the components. I'm going to get into the elements of that. But in order for me to do that, we must journey on here in the 6th chapter of the book according to the Gospel of St. Matthew by picking it back up at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, since you've asked how the prayer ought to be and how it ought to be shaped and fashioned and how it ought to be done in the right and purest forms, here is what you need to do. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, into a secret place, into a private chamber, a place where it's just between you and God. Now, I'm not against public prayers. I'm not against us praying in the church, praying publicly, praying in the hospital, wherever the request is made. But again, wherever the request is made by the public, do it so, again, that God gets the glory out of it and not for you to have your ego inflated. So he goes on to give us the elements of how to pray and how to have the right motives for praying. Closing, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition. You've got to keep on saying the same thing 44 different times as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Not necessarily the case. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask it. Verse 9, after this manner, here is the format. Oft times it has been misconstrued as a misnomer when people say, what's the Lord's Prayer? This is not the Lord's Prayer. The actuality of the prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed is recorded in St. John chapter 17. Here is the model. They asked him, once again, they asked him, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to do it. So give us the formula, give us the methodology, give us the procedure so that wherein we can learn how to do this thing in the proper fashion. After this manner, therefore, verse 9, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we're in now are the dynamics of learning what all of this that has been spoken to us about how one ought to really pray. We have to take into account that he's giving them the examples. He's given them the format. He's given them the way, the means, and the measure in which prayer ought to be given, how it ought to be given, and what the facts are as it relates to praying and praying appropriately. So there are, in actuality, there are really about 23 different elements of learning how to pray and what the dynamics of prayer really is. So let's investigate it. Now, again, these are extracted or pulled out or gleaned from the model prayer. Number one, when it says relationship, that means our Father. Recognition, which art in heaven. Three, adoration, hallowed be thy name. So now, because we have a relationship with God, because he's our Father, we recognize where he resides, which art in heaven, giving adoration to the fact, giving clarity, giving preciseness to the fact that this is where God resides. So we give him adoration by declaring hallowed. That means we're echoing his name. Four, anticipation, thy kingdom come. We sit in anticipation that when we pray that the kingdom of God is going to respond to that which we are asking him for. Five, consecration, thy will be done. Not so much my will, God, but thy will be done. Number six, universality in earth. Even though God resides in heaven, but he yet rules both heaven and earth. Seven, conformity, as it is in heaven. In other words, whatever the will of God is in heaven, we pray that the same will be done here in the earth realm. Eight, supplication, give us definiteness. This day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, but give us this day, because we are to only be concerned about what's happening this day. And we find that to be a very positive, conclusive statement when we look at the 10th element of prayer, necessity, our daily bread. Then penitence, and forgive us. 12, obligation, our debts. We have to take ownership for the things that we have done. 13, forgiveness, as we forgive. Now, you cannot expect for God to forgive you when you're not willing to forgive others. So, 14, love and mercy, our debtors. Guidance, and lead us. We need God's leading. You can't make it without the leading of the Holy Spirit. 16, protection. Not into temptation, because we're always confronted by temptation on every hand. The problem is not in the temptation, it's in the yielding. So one has to pray to the extent, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Protect me from falling into it. 17, salvation, but deliver us. 18, righteousness from evil, faith, for thine is the kingdom. 20, humility and the power. 21, reverence and the glory. 22, timelessness forever. 23, affirmation. Those are the elements. That's the elementary process or procedures, format, methodology in which prayer has to be dealt with. So hopefully you're hanging with me thus far. Now, let's journey on so that we can understand how prayer worked then, how prayer still works, and how prayer will continue to work. Let's take very careful note here of St. James, chapter number 5, and the key verse here is 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. It is in the B clause of this text wherein I want to base the fundamental thought that I'm trying to get over to your audience on today. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer. The Greek word for effectual is the word enigro. Enigro means meaning to be active, efficient. It also means to be effectual, fervent, be mighty in, show forth self, work effectually in. You've got to work your prayer. There are things that have to be deployed in the prayer, and we're going to get in that to a little bit later. But then there is another word that comes to mind as we glean from the B clause of verse 16 in James chapter 5. Fervent. The Greek word here is zeo, which means to be hot. It means to boil or as liquids abhor, or it means to glow. Of solids. It means to be fervent. It means to be on fire. It means to be alive. It means to be so that when you work your prayer, when you begin to pray, your prayer shouldn't be dead. It should not be humdrum. It should be heated up. Heated up in the sense of fervency to this extent. If you're going to make anything, let's use this example. If you're going to cook some vegetables, and the vegetables have to be cooked, you put it in the pot, you put it in the pan, you put it on the oven, you put it in the microwave, you put it in the oven, whichever way you're going to do it. Now, if the vegetables are going to be served hot, then they have to be heated up. So you don't want to serve vegetables that need to be cooked and serve best and become more palatable when they are heated. You don't want to serve them ice cold. So we have to take that concept as we move progressively into how prayer still works. So hang with me. We're going somewhere. So now when we understand all of these Greek words, and then we get down to the word prayer. The word prayer is in the Greek is diasis, and diasis means a petition. It means to offer up something. It means to beseech, to pray. It means to make a request. So now, when you look again at the text, and we're going to hasten on because I feel it coming already. In verse 16, we read it again into your hearing. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Don't be selfish. Pray just as much as you pray for yourself, you also are obligated as the children of God, the people of God, the saints of God, to pray one for another. The Word of God commands us that we're to pray for one another. We're to pray for the magistrates. That means our leaders, our governors, our mayors, those that control the land. We have to pray that God give them the mind, give them the tenacity, give them the fortitude, give them the wisdom to do what is right in the best interest of us one and all as citizens of this great country. So, but the text says, pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There was a key component here that's in the last four words of the text. A righteous man availeth much. Now, here is where I want to go. Who then is righteous? We're not righteous in what we do. We have become righteous by virtue of what God has done for us. The Word of God in the Old Testament tells us that all of our filthy, all of our righteousness is but a filthy rag in the sight of God. So if you were to take all of the things that you think you know how to do and muster them with other people of like-mindedness and say, okay, God, will you accept this as being righteous? God says, no, I'll have to refute that. Because the only way that one can become righteous or to become in right standing with God, then that individual has to understand there is a process. Jesus says that there is the only way that you can get to the Father is through me, the Son. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except he comes by me. So you are the gatekeeper. You are the toll attendant. If I realize, and people realize, that the only way that we can become righteous is through the finished work that Christ has done. Now, in order for the sake of time, in order for you to really understand how you become righteous, may I invite you to look at Romans, the entire book of Romans, because the Apostle Paul lays out the total plan of salvation, how it is that we've got saved, what we have been saved from, how we're then justified in the sight of God, how we then become sanctified, that is to say, set apart for God's sacred purpose. He goes on to say how we are justified. In other words, whatever sins we have committed have been just as if they never happened as far as God is concerned. It goes on to give us the inkling and the ideology and the theology and the summation of the fact that our sins have been cast in the sea of forgiveness as they're not rise in this world nor the world to come. It then goes on to give us in the book of Romans how we become edified or edification. Then it goes on to show how we then become glorified. So again, for the sake of time, you have to read that. I caution you, I admonish you to read the book of Romans. Read it, please read it, because then you can understand what you've been saved from, how God has done the redemptive act, how God has done it through the finished work of the cross of Calvary, the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, so that we are now covered under the blood. Our sins are hid, covered under the blood. We've been made redeemed from the curse of the law, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these wonderful, marvelous things now brings us into clarity who then becomes righteous. There are two kinds of righteousness, the righteousness of God and man's righteousness. Well, the man's righteousness is not God's righteousness. God's righteousness is that God says, I'm holy, I can set a standard, and in order for you to come up to my standard, I must show you how you have become deficient in doing what it is that I want you to do. So again, so the righteous man availeth much. When the righteous pray, when the people of God who have a relationship with him, just simply be praying, but you have no relationship with God, then your prayers can go unanswered. I'll prove it to you. Let's look at it from this standpoint here, that when you are a child of God and you have a relationship with God, your relationship now must become intimate. You must observe to do all that God has commanded you to do. You must understand who you are in him and who he is in you. You must understand, the Apostle Paul says, it's in him that we live, we move, and we have our being. Our existence is in him, even though we reside in this world. But when you lean toward the ideology, when you lean toward the reality that it's really in Christ Jesus that we live, we move, we have our existence totally in him. So now when you understand that and understand it by faith, understand that I am God's child and he is my God. And so now if I'm his child and my God, then I must strive to understand who this God is, who my Father is. I must then begin to investigate through my relationship with him who he is, what is he capable of doing, and what it is that he wants me to be as his child. I caution the believer today, because there seems to be, from where I sit, in my personal opinion, there is an absence of the Word of God really being rooted and grounded in the postmodern Christian church. People don't really read the Word of God as often or as much as they should. Now, also, they don't even study the Word of God. They kind of skim through it and say, okay, God, I've read what you said in Genesis. I've read what you said over there in Deuteronomy. But you read but have no understanding. Oh. It's synonymous to the eunuch who was observed by the disciple or the apostle Philip. Philip notices that he's reading from the Old Testament manuscripts, and he approaches him and says to him, sir, do you understand what you read? He says, no, I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. He says, why don't you understand? I have no man to teach me. The Word of God has to be taught, not in our own personal ideologies, but to be taught the revelational knowledge of the Word of God. It's one thing to read it, but it's another understanding thing to understand it. And it's even a greater thing to be able to have the revelation of what God is saying. So when you understand who you are in God and who God is in you, when you become aware of the fact that you are no longer a stranger, Paul says that we were once aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, meaning that we had no citizenship. We had no identity. The Old Testament would have called us a bastard child. We had no father. No spiritual father. We had no covering. We had no protection. We had no preserving outside of ourselves. But now Paul says that now that you're saved, I'm paraphrasing here, now that you're saved, now that you understand that you're no longer strangers, but you are now members of the household of faith. You are now a kingdom dweller, not a church member. You are now a member of the body of Christ. And God has fitly joined you together in the body of Christ. I think that I said this once before. It's easy to join the church, but you have to be adopted into the family of God. All you have to do, I think if memory serves me correct, the last time I addressed your audience, I told you it's easy to come to church, and when the invitation for discipleship has been offered, the doors of the church, as we call it, are being open, and whosoever will, let them come by letter Christian experience or even as a candidate for baptism. So people come down, they give God supposedly their heart and the preacher their hand. You've given the preacher your hand, but have you given God your heart? In other words, have you allowed him, as he stands at the door of your heart knocking, have you opened the door and said, Lord, come on in and sup with me and I can sup with you. We can have fellowship. So the kinship and fellowship that we have, Paul says you avoid of that when you were in your sins. But now that you're saved, you're now members of a holy nation, members of a royal priesthood. You're now the sons and the daughters of God. So now two things have to happen out of this experience. I must first understand who my father is, what the background of my father is, what's his biography, who is this God that I'm beginning to serve. And then I must understand who I am as his child. What privileges do I have as being this God's child? So he says that now, because you're my child, members of a royal priesthood, members of a holy nation, you have direct access to me. There was a time in the Old Testament that you had to go into the temple and you had to confess your fault or your sins before the priest. Now, if the priest had not lived holy according to the law of God, then in order for that to happen, they would tie a rope around the priest. The priest was given commandments of how they had to live their lives and live it above reproach and to live a life of sanctification and purity and what have you, behave themselves, conduct themselves accordingly. And so now, when it came time for the priest to go in to the holies of holies behind the veil, because the only person that could come behind the veil was the priest. But again, the priests were given a mandate of how they had to live their lives. So now, as a means of wherewithal, they would tie a rope around the priest and tie a bell around the priest. Now, others that were standing outside of the holies of holies, behind on this side of the veil, as long as they could hear the bell chiming and the rope being pulled and stretched further, then they knew that the priest had lived according to what God had required of them. Now, on the other hand, if the bell stopped ringing and the rope stopped moving, then they would tug on it and pull it on because they would know that he was killed. So now, since the work of Calvary, the veil has been rent. Now we have direct access to God. Why? Because we are now members of a royal priesthood, which means we are entitled to go beyond the veil. We can talk to God for ourselves. We don't have to go to another earthly individual and say, okay, sir, I've messed up here. This is what I've done. I'm confessing my faults, and this is what I need God to do for me. But because we are privileged, we have been graced through the grace of God, through the salvation experience, that now we can go to God for ourselves. And guess what? Because you are a joint heir to the throne of grace, because you are now a son or a daughter of God, you don't have to be bashful about going in the presence of your dad. You can go there in boldness. You don't have to wait for an opportune time as it was in the Old Testament. There were only certain times of the year that they could go in and confess their faults to the priest, and the priest would go in to the holies of holies and tell God what the people have done and ask God to forgive them, et cetera, et cetera. But now you don't have to wait to a prescribed time and or to a prescribed place. You can go before God anytime you get ready. He's always willing to pay attention to you. But unless you know who you are in him and who he is in you, you can sometimes be ambivocal about going before him. If you don't understand that you have been worthily made into a position and given the right to go before God, if you're shy and your shyness is the result of insecurity being you not fully aware of who you are in God, sometimes you will get to the place, and the enemy can use this. Now, you know God's not going to hear you, because remember who you were. No, devil, don't talk to me now, because I'm about to find out who I really am. I'm about to find out that I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace, that when God looks at me in terms of kinship, he sees me and identifies me on the same level of kinship as his only begotten son. This is why he now calls me a son, or call you a daughter. So now, if we have the same privileges as Christ does, then I don't have to be ambivocal. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to be shy. I don't have to be timid. I can go before God in a bold way. God, first of all, God, here I am. I come to you earnestly. I come to you acknowledging you that you are my Father. I thank you that you've allowed me the privilege to sit at your feet and be able to communicate with you. Because prayer, one of the components of prayer, or one of the methodologies of prayer that we need to understand, is that you're now having a conversation with God. You don't have to have a go-between. You can talk to God for yourself. There is no set order, as it were. There is no, when I say set order, is that you don't have to necessarily be on your knees praying. If you have the opportunity to do that, then by all means do so. But sometimes you don't have a chance or an opportunity or a position or the privacy to do that. Does that mean that if I can't be at home in my secret closet, in my private place, then do I have to wait until I get back home or get into my secret chamber so that I can communicate? No, because sometimes situations and circumstances can prevail themselves on the spot that you sometimes say, because now I have access to go before God in a bold fashion. I can pray right here in my car. I can take and go to the break room, and I can pray. I can pray within myself, because no one else has to know that I'm praying by how loud I'm praying. Okay, I'm just trying to show you how it is that you have access to God. You have access to the kingdom of God, again, through Jesus Christ. So now, when I go to God in prayer, I can acknowledge him as being God, going back to the 23 elements. God, I understand where you reside. I give you reverence because I respect and honor who you are. I'm not going to minimize you, and I'm not going to deal with you as you are, like I would a buddy or a pal or my boo or my homie. No, you're God. And so I'm going to give you your due respect. I'm going to bow in your presence. I'm going to humble myself in your presence. I'm not going to become arrogant when I approach you, because after all, you're God. You've demonstrated to me that you are, in fact, God. God. So now that I understand that you are God and I'm the child, I must respect and honor you. So I'm going to give you all that is due your great name. Now, I first must approach you from the standpoint that I need you to understand I'm grateful for what you've done, because you did not have to do it. But since you did, then I'm going to offer up my thanks before you, before I ask for anything. Because number one, you already know what I stand in need of. I still need to pay you homage. I need to say to you, much obliged. I need to say to you, thank you for what you've already done. Because the times past when I've approached you in my prayer life, in my prayer time with you, I found it to be a very marvelous thing to be in your presence. I don't care what I've come here with. My heart is heavy. My life is in shambles. It's in chaos. But somehow just merely being in your presence has lifted the burden, has lifted the load. So I want to thank you that you've given me access to you. I don't have to have anybody else to come to you on my behalf. You've given me the ability to come into your presence. So God, here I am. So now that I'm here, let me talk to you with things that concern me. So now when we're going back to the text here, verse 16 again says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So now we understand that prayer is a request. So now let's look at it from this standpoint. Okay, Jesse, here you are. Thank you for coming into my presence. What is it that I can do for you? Well, God, here is the matter at hand. I stand in need of this. I stand in need of that. I need you to do this. I need you to do the other. That's what we call making our requests made known unto him. God wants to hear from us what it is that we expect or desire or need for him to do. Now, again, I don't have to circumvent my list. I can have it on here, 1,000 things that I need you to do. So, but since you've graced me with the privilege of sitting before you, I can take all the time that I want to begin to give you a description, give you an idea of what it is and why it is that I'm here. So I want to talk to you about some matters that concern me. So I'm talking to you, and this is my petition. The bills are due, and I know that according to your word, that a cattle on 1,000 hills belong to you. The silver and the gold is yours. You hold the wealth of the world in the palm of your hand. That's your word, Dad. So now your son, your daughter, we're a little broke. We're a little short. We're in between paydays, and we don't know how this is going to happen. But because I understand who I am in you, and who you are in me, then I feel it in my best interest to describe to you what I need. Because if anybody can furnish it, you can. Those kinds of things are developed by your relationship that you have with God. Yes, it's one thing to be able to ride on the shoulders of Grandmama's prayers and all the wonderful things that she prayed for you and the prayers that your pastor prayed for you and the other saints of God. But again, let me draw your attention to this major factor. When you know who you are in God yourself, and how you can interact with him, then you can begin to pray for yourself. Let me take you here for a moment to some of the Psalms to show you how these conversations can really work with God. Psalms 19 says, a psalm of David, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words of the end of the world. What David is doing here, he's giving God homage. He's giving God accolades. He's recognized who God is. He's identified through what the Greek word here would be epinosis, practical experience. When you walk with God, have a relationship with God, then God will allow you to have experiences in him that will reveal to you who he is to you and who you are to him. So when you go before him, you want to remind him that, God, I'm aware of who you are. I'm aware of the power you have. So therefore, God, I come to you with this petition request. Now let's look at petitions from a natural standpoint. When there are things that are going wrong in our government, when the things that are going on in our world, in our society, and we seek for those things to be changed, we realize that laws have to be established for those things to be changed. So what then do? We solicit a petition. So now we go around to other like-minded people and say, okay, I want to have you sign a petition because we're trying to create this ordinance or this law or that law to make our communities better. So now when you have sufficient participants signing the petition, now you take it to the magistrates. You take it to those that are able to make it happen. So that's the perspective that the believer has to look at with God. So God, I present this petition to you because I understand your unlimited power. You're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask, think, or even can imagine, according to the power that worketh within me. So God, I understand in my epinosis, my practical experience with you, who you are. So now I come to you in a humble way, because reverence you. I understand I'm in the presence of the Almighty God, the God that's the creator of the ends of the universe. I recognize, God, through your written word, through the Bible classes, through the Sunday school lessons, through other things and testimonies I've heard of others. And all of that has fueled me, but my faith now in you has been kindled. What is faith, according to the Greek word, is pistis. And that word means having a full assurance, especially in the divine things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So when I sit and I read the word of God, I'm hearing what others have said about you. When I go to church and I hear the Sunday school teacher elaborate on the Sunday school lesson, when I hear the man or the woman of God preach your word, my faith now is kindled because I'm hearing what you can do. So when I look at what I've heard you can do and then look at what I have read you have done, and understanding from that that you declared in your word that you're God that changes not, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So now, God, since I understand that much of it, so now I come to you acknowledging the fact you're God. You're unlimited. There is nothing that you cannot do. So I present my petition to you, because if anybody can do something about this matter, you can. So let's go on here. So he goes on in the fifth stanza of the 19th number of Psalms, says, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, covering the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In other words, I've heard what you've done. So now, since I've heard what you've done, it enhances my confidence in you, based upon perhaps my limited knowledge of you. But my knowledge of you is growing by practical experience. So I understand who you really are. You're an awesome God. There is none like you nowhere in the earth. There is none that it can be likened and or compared unto you. I read the passage where the prophet said, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that you're the everlasting Father? You're the creator of all things. You can speak and men can lay down and die. You can speak and men can live again. These are things that have fortified my faith. When I look at the psalmist and I look at what you've done for him and what you've done for them, when I've looked over the manuscript, your holy writ, when I've read it from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books, I've discovered some things about you. I've seen you do some things for the children of Israel that really blew my mind. When they were in Egypt, you brought them out. When they were in the wilderness, you kept them. You preserved them. You took very good care of them. When they came to the place where the Red Sea was in front of them, and mountains on the left and on the mountains on the right, and Pharaoh's army in hot pursuit of them behind them, you did some miracle-working wonders. You allowed Moses, your servant, to cast the rod over the Red Sea, and the waters were departed. And here's what really blows my mind, God, in that story. You allowed them to walk through on dry land. So, God, I have this knowledge of you. I've not walked through a Red Sea. But sometimes, God, I feel like I'm in the same situation. So, God, here is my petition. Based upon what I've heard about you, can I talk to y'all like I feel it? You have to understand. Here, I don't want to get too theological and go all around the moral. Let's try to bring the thing to a close. So again, now, God, I understand. I can talk to you about anything. I'm ambivocal about talking to Auntie because she's got a big mouth. I'm concerned about talking to my Uncle Bud because he may not know you in the power of his sins nor in the power of his resurrection. I'm concerned whether or not my confidence that I had in someone, if I told them my secret faults, my sins, and what I stood in need of, they may tell everybody else in the choir stand, every member of the Urshia Board. So, God, whom can I talk to? So God says, you can come to me. You can cast your cares upon me. If it concerns you, my son, my daughter, guess what? It also concerns me. Because, again, you're my child, and I'm your father. I want the best for you. So come on, let's sit down here and let's talk about it. You're beginning to now tell God, let me talk about it the way I feel it. Thank you, Jesus. So God, here it is. I've migrated from California. Can I use you, Evangelist Bernard, as an example? I've gone through episodes with you. You've kept me. You've concealed me. You confined me from danger seen and unseen. That's your record, God. Times when I didn't know how I was going to make it, you made a way for me. That's your record. Times when the children have not had proper nourishment, but you came in just in the nick of time, lost the job, but yet you made a way for me. I've had my wilderness experiences in you, because there were times, God, when I have to admit to you that I wondered to whom shall I go and to whom shall I turn? And you beckoned me. You knocked on the consciousness of my mind and reminded me I can come to you. It does not matter when, where, or how I come, but I can come. I have access to come boldly before the throne of grace. I don't have to wait till prayer meeting time on Wednesday night in my local church. I don't have to wait until altar call is made during the morning service. The matter is pressing, and I need to come to you now. So God says, access granted. So now, God, I need to let you know. I know some things about you, and what I know about you has brought me into your presence. because if anybody can fix this matter, I know that you can. Because, God, I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. So I understand that what Israel went through within the wilderness experience, that's just about how I feel right through here and now. So, God, I'm coming to you, reminding you that I know what you did for them. So now I need you to understand, God, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I can't go to the left. I cannot go to the right. I cannot move forward because there is a sea before me. There is something else I came to handle. When I try to retreat and go backward, here is this devil coming fast upon me. So, God, here I stand. But now your record says, it's left on the record, that you took the servant, Moses, and he cast his rod over the sea, and the waters were divided, and they walked through on dry land. So that says to me that you are a way out of no way. That's as best as I can describe it to you, God. I'm telling you how you can really talk to God. So now, God, if you did it for them, and I need to remind you, not that you need to be reminded, because you do not suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia. You're not absent-minded. But I need to let you know that I know what your word says. So, God, you said to me through your word that you would not allow the feet of the righteous to be moved. But God, I feel a shaking under my feet. My foundation is being torn asunder. But you said in your word that you would not suffer my feet to be moved. So God, I'm just reminding you that I know what you said. And so now, in my position, look it over, God. In my petition, here it is. I'm going through a dark place. I'm going through a valley experience. I feel like I'm on the brink of losing my mind. But now that I think about it, your word says you are a mind regulator. So God, now I need to let you know what my state of affairs are. I feel like if one more thing happens, I'm going to pop a fuse. I'm going to lose it, God. But the only thing that keeps me, thank you, Jesus. The only thing that keeps me from going over on the lunatic side is that your word says you are a mind regulator and a heart fixer. This thing that has happened to me has torn my heart into shreds. But your word declares that you are a heart fixer. So now, God, I need you to fix my heart. Need you to regulate my mind. Because if one more thing happens, I'm going to lose it. But you told me again in your word, we're still talking to God. God, you told me in your word that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. God, I'm between payday. The rent man, the mortgage company is after me. I've had to hid my car from the repo man. But your word declares, if I pay my tithes and give an offering, God, there were times, yes, I can admit, I didn't know I could pay my tithes, but I did it out of obedience. Now, God, I'm holding you to your word. So here my petition gets even deeper. So now, God, can you understand? I know that you do, because you said to me that whatever concerns me concerns you, and there is no fault that is hid from you. So you knew we were going to have this conversation. So let me stop and tell you thank you that you're allowing me to be in your presence this long and discussing the matters that pertain to me. So now, God, I'm sitting here with you, and we're having this conversation. It seems to be one-sided now because I'm doing all the talking, but you tell me that's okay. So now here it is, God. This child that I raised sacrificed and gave up everything for. This child now has turned on me. Similar to what Saul did to David. Understand how hurt David was, because David loved Saul, but Saul had lost his mind, became a raving lunatic on the throne. He looked at David, and out of jealousy, he then tried to destroy him. God, how is it this child that I've birthed, this child that I've given up my last dime for, this child that I wore the same clothes every day, week after week, to make sure that Johnny had gym shoes, had jeans, made sure that rent was paid when mine was in jeopardy, and now this rascal is going to turn on me? Can you imagine, God, how this feels? Oh, by the way, God, I get it now. That must have been how you felt when you saw your darling son Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, dying for a world that would not even appreciate him. But because you loved us so much, you gave up your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I'm feeling better already, because I understand, God, according to your word, how you must have felt to watch him be whipped and beat all night long, a crown of thorns placed on his head, dragged up Golgotha's hill, nailed to the cross between two thieves, and then your only begotten son, the only child you ever had, sits there on the cross, lays his head over in the locks of his shoulders, and say, Lord, Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't you forsook him. You couldn't stand to look at sin. It hurt you to your heart. But here, your only begotten son. So, God, I get it now. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it now, God, how you must have felt. The same way I'm feeling about my hard-headed child, I told them, God, don't go down the street. Danger is down the road. And now, God, I got to mortgage my home, sell my car, get a car loan on a paid-off car to go help bail them out of jail. God, where can I come to? But here I am, God, feeling better, God, by being in your presence. Thank you, sir, for allowing me your attention and allowing me to spill my guts, allowing me to be transparent with you, because God, there are some people I know, friends and family members, kindred and likewise, I couldn't have this conversation with, because number one, they would tell me I don't have time to listen to it all, or either they would interrupt me from talking about my problems and tell me about theirs. But thank you, God, that you have not interrupted me. You allow me, God, to talk to you just like it really is. I don't have to be embarrassed, because after all, you're my dad. You told me I can tell you anything, and you'll keep it to yourself. So God, now, this thing that I'm dealing with has been an uproar. It has been chaos. It has been the point where I feel like I'm going to lose it if one more thing happens. Okay, God, I'm through now. So what I need you to do, God, is make a way for me, regulate my mind, heal my broken heart. And now, God, I'm going to sit right here. Because, God, when I begin to think of your goodness and all that you've done for me, before I leave, I got to let you know I thank you for what you've already done. So now, God, I'm catapulted into a place where I'm not only thanking you for what you've done, it reminds me if you did it once, you can do it again. So, God, before I say good night, before I say amen, do you mind if I tell you thank you for what you're going to do? I know you're going to turn my wayward child around. I know you're going to turn my midnight into day. That's your word. God, can we keep on talking here? Because David believe it leaves on record that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I'm crying now, God. You've seen my tears. Your word declares you've seen my tears. You bottle up my tears. But my tears concern you. And then you turn around and tell me that I'm going to only weep for a little bit, for a little while. I can't wait till you dry these weeping eyes. That's your word. Okay, God, I'm through now. Because I understand the prayer still works. Because I remember the time when it might have been last week, yesterday, yesteryear, I talked to you. So that's why I come back to you, because I'm reassured more and more as I have epinosis, practical experience with you. If you did it once, God, you can do it again. So God, thank you so much for hearing me, because God, after all, I don't know. I may have to come back a little later. I may have to come back in the morning, because now, God, I'm also reminded that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So God, what I'm learning here in my intimacy, in my relationship with you, is that prayer not only changes things, it can change me. God, come on, man. I know I was going to say amen and shut this thing down, but God, I feel like talking a little while longer, because God, what I recognized you was, when I came to you heavy laden as I was, came to you burdened down, but since just being in your presence, you ain't even said nothing, but just being in your presence, God, has lifted my load. I feel like another round now. I feel like I can go back into battle now. I feel like victory is already mine. You didn't tell me I had it, only through your word. But in this conversation, you made me to feel and to know I still got the victory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just being in your presence. So, God, now I know that prayer still works. So now I'm going to leave you, God, going out rejoicing, knowing that no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the circumstance has been, I know you're in control. I know that all things indeed work together. They don't look good, don't smell good, don't sound good, don't feel good, and don't taste good. But beyond all of that, my faith says it's going to be all right. My faith says if it's going to be all right, then pull the negativity and throw it in the garbage, because I refuse to let my negativity, I refuse to let my emotions get the best of my faith. Because God, I can talk to you about anything. I can even come to you and tell you what I'm weak in, and you're going to strengthen me. I can tell you stuff that I'm embarrassed to tell anybody else, but what delights me in having this relationship with you, you don't look at me funny, you don't look at me cross-sided, you don't reach over on the throne and tell the cherubims and the seraphims what my issues are, you don't even tell Jesus Christ, because you've given me power to come before your presence. So as I close here, I want y'all to understand today's beloved prayer still works. Don't allow the enemy to trick your mind. And see, this is what begins to happen. Because the devil knows that prayer works. He knows that. So that's why he tries to inhibit you from praying. That's why he keeps throwing stuff at you. Amen. To distort you. To make you feel distracted. Get you to focus on the matter rather than to take the matter before God. That's his strategy. Because he knows if you get in the presence of God, something is going to happen. So he's got to do something to subvert your attention. Your focus on going to God. You're saying, okay, now I'm going to go into my closet. But then the phone rings. There's a knock at the door. Something to deter you, something to distract you, something to abort your mission. Your mission was, I'm going to go and pray. But the devil knows if you get into God's presence, you and God together, y'all going to mess me up. That's the mindset of the devil. So he says, let me stop you. Have you ever noticed that when you can watch your favorite TV program, the phone does not ring, there's no knock at the door, there's not a neighbor coming by asking for a cup of sugar or a package of salt? No, no, but when you get ready to talk to God, so now, devil, you're about to tick me off. You keep messing with me. You keep messing with my finances. God, can I preach it like a sailor? Because I believe I'm going to help somebody here. So now, devil, you mess with my finances. And when I tried to pray, you distorted me. You're ticking me off, devil. You're forcing me now. You're backing me into a corner. And now I got to really tell God just how I feel. Because I feel just Jeremiah coming up in my spirit. Jeremiah said that my heart is waxed back astonished within me for the hurt of the daughters of my people. And then God says, Jeremiah, you sound like you're depressed. Yes, God, I'm depressed. I can't stand to see what's happening to these newborn babies. I can't stand, God, to see how these ill-gotten people, if you don't want them, give them up for adoption. But rather than to do that, you'd rather throw them in the river. You'd rather put them in the microwave. You'd rather choke them to death, beat them to death. God, they're about to take me off now. This government seems to be going crazy, passing all kind of ill-gotten laws, same-sex marriages. They're diluting and burning the order of things and trying to make it seem like it's all right. Two men, if you want to be mad, it's fine. Two women, if you want to be fine. Now you're diverting. You're changing the family structure. You said a family consisted of one husband, one wife, and some children. But now, God, you're allowing the devil is taking over. God is taking me off now, devil. You're the mess with the wrong somebody. Because I know the God, my father. I know what he stands for. And you keep messing with me and messing with mine. Now you done back me into a corner. You knocked me down. That was your first mistake. Because grandmother taught me that when you get knocked down, stay there on your knees. Because the best way to get up is on your knees. That's what I hear grandmother reminded me of. So now, devil, that you didn't pick the fight with the wrong somebody. I have history with God. I know that God is my way maker. I know he's the strength of my life. I know that when I see Jesus appear in my manner, it's going to be amen. It's going to be all right. So now, devil, you done kicked me off. Now I'm going to tell God on you. Before I told God about what was going on with me, but since you are the blame for it, now you done kicked me off. Now you done got me angry here, devil. I'm going to tell God, my daddy, on you. I may not be able in and of myself to whip you by myself, but don't you let me get to my dad, because if I tell my dad what you're doing to me, and my dad is my shield and my buckler, he is my defense. He is my covering. You're messing with the wrong somebody. You're not just messing with a grant who's kin to the rest of the grants and the masses. You're messing with a child of the king. I know who I am in God. So now, God, this devil here, sleuth with Beelzebub, this dragon, this old serpent, the father of the lie, God, he's messing with my child. I'm not going to stand for him. Got my child out there on drugs? No, no. I didn't go through all that labor pains and carry them 9 months to deliver them over in the hands of the enemy for him to strike them out and then cause them to be down. No, devil, no, no. Matter of fact, God, I tell you what, let me step back here. Because you said, greater is he that's in me.
than he that's in the world. Devil, thank you for forcing my hand, because now you've made me recognize who I am in God. So now, devil, I'm about to check you, because God's word told me whatever I bind on earth, he will bind in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth, he will loose in heaven. So Satan, you and all your dumps, all your imps and your demons, I bind you. I cancel your assignment. Because I'm a child of the King, he tells me I have use of his name. If I see in the name of Jesus, devil, you've got to go back and take your weapons back to the pits of hell from which they came. You don't mess around with devil and did me a favor. You made me recognize who I really am in God. You thought you were going to sidetrack me. You thought you were going to derail me. But all you've done, devil, is done me a favor. Because now, devil, I know who I really am. I found out who I am and who my daddy is. I found out now, devil, I don't have to lose my mind. Because my daddy ain't going to stand to have no crazy children. My daddy is not going to allow me to be an embarrassment to him. Because I can't go back to him and tell him, you didn't make a way for me and you promised me that you would. No, devil, no, no. It's not happening. Not today. It's not happening. Thank you, Jesus.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus. Prayer still works. But you got to know how to work your prayer. Don't let them. If the devil back you into the corner, that's the best time to pray. But while you're out in the open, don't stop and don't pray. Amen. Don't just wait until matters get worse and worse before you pray. When you have relationship with God and understand how marvelous he is, how splendorous he is, how delightful he is, how pleasurable he is, how he sticks closer to you than a brother. When you have relationship with God, you want to talk with him. Sometimes you don't need nothing. God, I just stopped by to tell you thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've already done. Thank you, God, for times past when the children have been sick and you healed their bodies. When I didn't know how I was going to make it. I just want to stop by, Daddy, to tell you thank you. I don't want to wait till Father's Day to acknowledge you. Every day you're my Father. And you keep on proving over and over and over and over and over again just how good you are. Matter of fact, you are delicious to me. You're marvelous in my eyes. Thank you, God, that you saved a wretch like me. Now I'm a joint heir to the throne of grace. Mama may have aborted me, may have given me up for adoption, but you have redeemed me. Now I know who I am. So now that I know who I am, God, I take it and I deal with it in the most humblest way I know how. I'm not proud. I'm not going to become egotistical and think I'm better than anybody else. No, no. I can't afford to do that because I like walking with you. I like it when we talk. Now, God, I want to hear what you got to say about the matter. I done said everything I have to say, so I'm going to sit right here and let you talk to me. I'm going to be quiet because my petition was full. I wanted to know from you, God, since I left California, and now this is for you, Evangelist Bernard, now that I left California, come all the way back to New Orleans, feel like I'm in a strange land, what shall I do here? But I told you when I prophesied to you before that God has gone on before you to make easy and successful your way. God has not forgotten your labor of love, the years of sacrifice, the years that you have sacrificed, gave up the right for the wrong, the years that you've toiled in this vineyard, these last years, not going to give you a number, but they're going to be great. Your latter years are going to be greater than your former. Hallelujah. Ain't no way in the world that the prayers you've prayed for so many others, that God is not going to answer yours. Oh, and if I pray, may take the opportunity to pre-adventure what God is going to do. Honey, God is going to blow your mind. That sounds like a cliche, but I could pinpoint the very hour. Matter of fact, let me do that. 12 o'clock come Wednesday. Something's going to happen in your life that's going to blow your mind and make you understand fully why you had to go all the way back to New Orleans. I know you're kind of wondering now, God, how do I start all over again? You're not going to start all over again. You're going to start anew. You're going to start afresh. What God is going to do for you in this hour, evangelist, is that God is restoring your health. God is restoring your finances. God has allowed all those weights that you had to deal with there in California, those things have been lifted. God has moved you into a new region, a region that is thirsty and hungry for what you had to offer. You ran into opposition and rebellion on top of opposition and on top of rebellion, but here is a land that God is sending you back to, a stronghold where witchcraft and all that has been noted for being. But you're going to go into that region and you're going to bring down those strongholds. God, can I tell her like you told me to tell her? So come 12 o'clock Wednesday, and if I be a man of God, just like you had, you would take the position to announce me on Facebook and my coming on to preach. If I be a liar, then get right back on Facebook and tell them I, the man of God, lied to me. But come the 12 o'clock hour, the 12 o'clock hour means between 12:01, amen, and 1:01 p.m., whatever time zone you're in. Hey, man, but God is going to show you something that's going to show you this is why I brought you back here. You thought it was going to be a struggle, but no, I'm going to make it easy for you, because the man of God prayed for you before you got there, and not only did the man of God pray for you, prayed for yourself. I know how you feel. God in heaven knows I know just how you feel. But all things are working out for the good of them. Working out for your good. Honey, you're going to be better than ever. Your skin tone is going to change. Your figure is going to change. And I ain't talking about you being overweight or nothing like that, so please don't be offended. I'm just telling you what God gave me to tell you. Honey, God is going to just have you walking around feeling like you was when you was 18 and 25. God is going to renew your energy, renew your strength. Amen. Before you turn around good, you're going to get one call, come preach here, another one, come preach there. Amen. You're going to go forth in the things of God like never before. You're going to not even have to lay your hands on people. You're going to be able to look them dead in the eye and command their healing, and they'll fall in your presence without you lifting one hand, because that's the power of God anointing over your life. I can see you just as clear as I can see this phone I'm holding in my hand. God, it has got great things in store for you. And once again, if I be a man of God, and I know that I am, if I lie in order toward what I'm saying to you, you go back on Facebook, call me on my private number, you got them all, and tell me, man of God, you lied to me.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your labor has not been in vain, girl. Hallelujah. It's been in vain. Stop feeling like it's been in vain. Stop feeling that the devil make you feel like you useless and you have not done the will of God. Honey, you done the will of God. You've done the will of God when you've decided to live holy for God and you've kept your word with God. And God's going to keep his word with you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Bishop,
I'm going to off your airtime. I'm just going to give a closing prayer. Amen.
Yes.
To remind all of you, prayer work, the only way that you really know confidentially, assertively, fortifiedly, without question, that prayer works is that you've got to work your prayer. You've got to work your relationship with God. And this hour, you're going to have to get as close to God as you could ever get, because these are going to be filled with evil. You're going to need to be able to walk with God. You can't trust your government. You can't even trust yourself. You can't trust those around you, not like you once did, because people are being taken over by the power of the enemy. But that does not mean that you're going to be carried away. It does not mean that you're going to be destroyed. But you've got to get in God's face. You got to talk to God so that God can open himself up to you and show you the strength that he's deposited in you. Now let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Then God, we thank you for this time, this opportunity once again to come boldly before that throne of grace, because your word declared that in the time of trouble, you would hide us in your pavilion, the secret of your tabernacle, you promised to hide us. You told us, God, that we have access into your kingdom. So, God, here we stand in your presence. We give you reverence, we give you glory, we give you honor for the great God that you are. We thank you, God, for your saving power. Thank you, God, for healing us, delivering us, and bringing us up out of a horrible pit. We thank you, God, that how in times past we've called upon your great name. You did not turn a deaf ear to us, but, God, you heard our fever cry. You heard us in offering up our petition and supplication before you. And, God, you have granted our every request. You have gone before us and made easy and successful our way. There is nothing, God, that we can say to you that we've earnestly asked you according to your will that you've not done. So, God, in the precious name of Jesus, God, I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice, that God, that you would grant their purest request. Because God, sometimes we can ask things that are not according to your will, but God, everything that's according to your will, God, I pray now, God, that you grant it. I pray, God, that that mother that's worried about her daughter, God, worried about her son, God, she can't sleep at night. The father is working like a slave, trying to provide for his family. And here comes this devil, God, trying to take over the home. The marriages are under attack. People can't stand anything any longer. People are burning on a short fuse. Relationships are being broken all around us. Seems like things are turning into total chaos. But God, I know that you're on the side of the righteous. So God, I speak now, I speak peace to the troubled soul. That relationship, God, that's under attack. I take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. That you loose that man. You let that woman go. Let that wayward child come back home. I cancel the assignment of the addiction that you have over their lives. For God, I know that whatever you declare, it shall be done. So, God, I declare your word. I declare your people to be made whole and to be set free in the name of Jesus. And, God, I thank you for it. We believe you for it. We praise you for it. We honor you for it in Jesus' name. And the saints of God shall be hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My beloved sister, you know that I and our family love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Out of here. I'm out of here. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful co-host, don't you dare feel left out. God's got some stuff in store for you. Come Friday afternoon. God's got some stuff for you. All right. I'm done. I'm through. God bless you.
Thank you.
God be the glory.
Thank you, Lord. God, continue to bless Bishop. Strengthen him, oh, God, everything that he's spoken to us, God. Make it happen in his life, God. Oh, you know, oh, God, we bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we bless you today, God. We thank you for the word, God. We thank you for your word today, God. Fresh manna. You know the mushie. Fresh manna, God. Hallelujah. Word for our situation. Word, God, for our family. A word for our conditions. You know the mushie. A word for our livelihood, a word for your promises, God. Oh, for your promises, yeah, and amen, God. And we thank you for them today, God. We thank you for a man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that would speak, hallelujah, boldly with us, say the Lord, God. We bless you for them today, God. We give you glory. We give you glory. Glory to your name, Jesus. Oh, last. All in what we do for God, it's going to last. Yo no no mosha, to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you today. Quite a few people still on the line. Hallelujah. As Bishop was preaching, I forgot the elder's name, Bishop Patterson's friend. They have a radio show. Oh, yo, no, 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 Moshiach. I think it's out of New Jersey. I'm not sure. But he was on the line until almost the end. He just cut off a 980 number, Sister Ruby. And I went to him privately because I knew the number, but I couldn't remember who it was. And he said his wife had a heart attack last week. Hey, y'all don't know, Moshiach. And everything Bishop was saying when he dialed in on the line, he needed it. He needed to hear that prayer still works. Ah, hallelujah. He's no stranger to this line. That's Bishop Patterson, friends. Amen. So we want to keep him and his wife in our prayers, and I'll talk with him after the broadcast, and I'll get his name. It just left me. Amen, amen. But he gave that testimony to me while Bishop Grant was preaching. You don't know who this word is for. Hallelujah. If you don't like it, it's okay, but God got somebody, because God know everybody that's on this line. Hey, he know all about us. Say, you know, I'm gonna shy ya. He know who's going to call in every day, because he know what we have need of. That was a word Bishop Grant preached today. Yet almost, even in the midst of what he's going through, he still had a mind to come on and preach in spite of the hell. Hallelujah. In spite of the hellhounds raging, he came on the line. That's what you call faithfulness. That's what you call commitment. That's what you call trusting in God. That's what you call knowing prayer still works. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over into Sister Ruby and say, hey, can't say nothing but hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for that word today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Ruby, thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Praise bless the Lord. The Holy Name. That was the word. We got unknown caller. We're going to go to them first, and we'll get back to the one that's in there. 540-1342.
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking to?
Hi, my name is Cheryl Robinson. How are you today?
Weren't you on yesterday?
I'm sorry?
I thought Cheryl was on. Were you on yesterday? I looked at the book. I didn't see it. Okay.
No, I wasn't on yesterday.
Amen. That's Cheryl. No, Sister Cheryl, God bless you, Sister Cheryl. We appreciate you. She's been on our line numerous of times. So God bless you, Sister Cheryl.
God bless you. God bless you. I saw the ad on Facebook, and I just wanted to get on today. I've been so busy, and it was God ordained. Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. I'm sorry.
Hey.
I'm trying to myself. Oh, glory to God. It was God ordained. Prayer still works. Prayer still works. That's all I can say. And I was just thoroughly, thoroughly blessed by the message today. I just want to say God bless you for all that you've done. I really felt that message that he gave to you, and I can second that God's got so much for you. You are a jewel and a diadem in the kingdom and in the hand of God. You are a blessed woman. You don't know how much you bless people, and you cannot go without being blessed on this side of glory. This side of glory, you're going to be blessed by the king, because you are a queen and the royal diadem in the hands of the Lord. So just continue to be who you are. Continue to go forth, and God's going to elevate you. He's going to take you to new depths and new heights and new dimensions in him. And I just want to say that the man of God, he spoke a word sent down from the crown, I mean, just sent down from heaven's gate. And I just want to thank God for pointing me to be on the line today. And thank God for all of his people that are on the line still. I don't want to take up any more time. So God bless you all.
Bless you, Sister Cheryl. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Thank
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Mother Charity.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all today. And we have been just so blessed, amen, to hear such a beautiful word of God expounded. Hallelujah. And I appreciate the Lord today. Hallelujah. How he used Bishop Grant. Hallelujah. And I tell you the truth, I just feel like, you know, after a fresh rain. And you know how you just feel cleansed. I tell you, and refreshed. Oh, the Lord is just so good. He knows what we need. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for these men of God. Amen. And we are praying for them that they'll continue to be encouraged. They'll continue to be strengthened in the name of Jesus, because we know Satan is fighting. He don't want us to hear this kind of word. He don't want us to hear it. Because he know it's going to build us up in the most holy faith. He don't want us to hear this. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad in the name of Jesus that the Lord have men like this to bring us the words of life in Jesus' name. May God continue to bless him. Hallelujah. And bless you all too. In Jesus' name. Y'all pray for us now. God bless you. Bye-bye. And amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Pastor Martin.
Awesome, awesome. Ooh, awesome. I was in the grocery store. I had the phone on mute. People behind me could hear. And they said, "What's that?" And I was saying, "This is the man of God preaching." And they were listening. I tell you, it was awesome. He said, "The effective fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much." He gave demonstration. And you know what? Evangelist Adrian Bernard, you pour out every day on that radio station, broadcast station. You pour out and you pour out, and God just pouring into you, and he's blessing you. And he's sending a word, and he's sending confirmation, and he's letting you know that prayer is going to change everything where you're at. Your prayers is going to bust Louisiana wide open, and souls are going to be saved. Souls are going to be saved because one could put 1,000 to flight. I just want to tell him it was confirmation. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I had four ladies in the car with me. We were all listening. They got blessed. I got blessed. I just tell you, God is good. Sometimes you pour out and God will pour right back into you. At different levels. You know, God told me to tune in today. And I did. I just put it on mute. My phone call kept dropping and I kept calling right back, telling the devil, "You a liar." And I'm telling you, I got blessed, and I want to thank the man of God for his prayers, for the scriptures, for confirmation, for how God used him to bless us. I believe we all went up some more. Amen. I just want to tell you, thank you. God bless you. And it was, the word I can just say is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
Want you all to know, you know, those of you that's on the line, Bishop Jesse Grant has a Facebook page, and he's always posting positive things, and he has a tag on there. His bishop is just talking out loud. So friend him and inbox him and let him know what this word has done for you today. Prayer still works. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Pastor Martin. Thank you. Jesus.
Minister Democrat.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise him. Amen. Always. Amen. Enjoy hearing the bishop. Amen, yes. Amen. One Jew I got out of there, he said, when you fall down, the quickest way to get back up is on your knees. Amen. And that's just encouragement right there, letting us know, guess what? You're not going to win every battle. Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes you're going to get knocked down. Amen. But when you get knocked down, the quickest way back up is prayer. Amen. Yes. Because prayer still works. So, amen. I caught that jewel, Bishop. Amen, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. You're not going to win everything, but when you get down, amen, get in position. Amen, amen, amen. So God can take you someplace else, and that's through prayer. Amen. So I thank, praise God, this was a good word today. Amen. I'm churchy after that. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you, Minister Democrat. Born to... Sister Dawn? Sister Dawn?
Sure, dear Jesus.
Okay.
Sure, we bless you.
Yes, quite a few was on, quite a few dropped, not on at this time. So I'm going to say that was a blessed word. I mean, it's been a blessing for weeks and weeks, but, you know, I say it every time. It's for myself, too. Please don't sign off because God has a rhema word just for you. Isn't that
yep.
all when that oh. word is goes out all over with this block talk, all over the out of the world, out of the United States and all over? You know, we don't have the map, but I say, Lord, one day you're going to give us a map and just show us this where this broadcast is going into. And I said, this rhema word, every day I say it, it just be something in my spirit. I can't leave it out because I say, Lord, don't tune off because God has a rhema word for you. And I mean, it's just been a blessing. With prayer still works, all of the different topics that the Lord has given to broadcast on this this Block Talk Radio through Evangelist Bernard and the saints. You know, the Lord not only sent a rhema word to us, but he sent anointed men and women, godly men and women to work this ministry with us. And that is awesome. I have seen the growth. I think, what is it, 27 months or 27 months, maybe 28, that the Lord has allowed us to come on this broadcast. And he has blessed from day one with Evangelist Adrian Bernard and Prophet Michael. I think they were the two on at that time. And she forgot she was on the broadcast. But she dedicated and she praised and she worshiped and the Lord is blessing each and every one on here. That, you know, I found out, I said, Lord, I got to say, when you're obedient to the word and you hear from the Lord and you do as he say, he can't help but bless you. And you can pray and seek his faith and call on him while he's near. And he'll answer you. What do you need? God bless. Oh, he answered me today. I'm going to get off of this one, Evangelist Bernard. I'll turn it back into you because I'm feeling more civil Democrat today. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
After a word like that, all we could do is say, let the church say amen.
All right.
All right.
I wasn't expecting that. I just was expecting a word, but God always give us more than what we are worthy and deserving of. What an awesome God we serve. I just thank God for that word today, and I thank Bishop Grant. I really, after I begin to just reflect upon these men and women that come on and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us, we don't have any monetary funds to bless them with. So every time they come on this line, they are sacrificing their time. But I'm praying, and that's been my prayer, that the Lord will bless us to be able to send them a gas card or something to let them know just how much we appreciate it. I know it's not always in the money. It's in the thought. It's in the love. It's in the compassion that you have for your fellow man. So I just thank God for them making those sacrifices. These men, most of these men that come on this line, they are already shepherds. Some of them have large congregations. Believe me, they don't need a platform to preach or to teach. But they come because of their love for the saints, because of the compassion and the genuineness they have in their heart to speak a word to the people. We need encouragement. We need encouragement. And sometimes we think because the pastors are at the helm, and you know, sometimes we look at their lifestyle and see they're living in large homes and God has blessed them with beautiful cars and they're able to wear the finest of clothes. But you don't know the sacrifice. You don't know the blood, the sweat, and the tears that these men of God have labored in the vineyard with. Some of them go without sleep praying for you. Some of them go without sleep, going to the hospital to pray and to touch and agree with your loved ones. We don't know the sacrifices that they make. Amen. So I thank God for them. Pray for our leaders. They need our prayers. And don't get jealous if God bless them with a new home and God bless them with a new car or what have you. The Bible say the lamb is worthy of his hire. Amen. They're worthy of their hire. Amen. So I pray for these men and women of God. I pray for the sacrifices that they make. And even what he spoke even to Sister Ruby. Amen. He said by Friday, Sister Ruby, God, and that's tomorrow. Amen. He said God's going to do something for you. So he didn't come on the line to give a word to Sister Bernard. He had a word for every listener on this line. All we have to do is receive that word. Receive it. Don't say, oh, well, he wasn't talking to me, talking to Sister Bernard. No, that word was for everybody because the title was Prayer Still Works. Amen. We had a lot of callers on the line today. Many have dropped off, but that's okay. We're continuing on. I just want to, again, thank God for Mother Charity. Thank God for Sister Cheryl Robinson being with us today. And thank God for the man of God that said his wife had a heart attack. His name is going to come back to me. Sister Ruby Mike can go back in a book and get his name, that 9800 area code where this was Bishop Patterson's friends in the gospel. Amen. So we thank God for each and every one of you. Thank God for Minister Democrat and Neva next week as they do this little honor celebration thing on my behalf next Thursday. Don't sign on the line. When you sign on that, they're going to let me know that you're not jealous. You're not envious of anything that God is doing in someone else's life. Because when you can rejoice when God bless someone else, guess what? They'll be able to rejoice when God, in turn, blesses you. So God bless you all. We're going to ask Mother Cherry. No, let's go to Sister Cheryl and ask her, can she close out, if she can, with the word of prayer for us on today. Amen. God bless you, Sister Cheryl. God bless you.
Hello?
Yes, yes. God bless you, woman of God.
I'm so sorry. I was getting ready for church, so I was in another room. But thanks be to God for all his mercies and his grace. I just want to thank God for his goodness and for his mercy. Father God, we just thank you for today's word.
Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you for all that you've said and you've done today. Father God, we thank you for the man of God poured into him today and how you poured through him today, Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you for the people of God who received your word with gladness,
mm-hmm.
Lord God. We thank you, Father God, how you've blessed us and how you love us so much that you lay down your life for us, Lord God, and how you are continuously just blessing us with love and affection. Father God, we just thank you for how we just ask you to bless the man of God. Just continuously give him a rhema word. Just continuously just show him yourself so that he can reveal, just reveal word to your people to bless us and to feed your sheep, Father God. Father God, we just thank you for Sister Bernard, Lord God. We ask that you continuously do in her, Father God, a working, a continuously just lift her up on high. Keep her in the palm of your hand, Father God. Put angels of fire around her that no hurt, harm, or danger can come nigh her dwelling, Lord God. We ask that anything that tries to come up against her, that you would just block it, Lord God. We ask that anything that's not like you that would try to come up to do any harm, Father God, that you would rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, we ask that as we leave this phone line, that we not leave each other's presence, that we not leave your presence, Father God. We just come to you mercifully, just asking that you continuously bless us.
Yes,
in Jesus'
God.
Name.
In
amen.
Jesus. Amen. Tomorrow is Provoke Friday, so join us with Pastor Edward Hamilton. We'll be ministering for us tomorrow for our Provoke Fridays. God bless you all. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. In Jesus' name, I'm going to let Sister Ruby close us on out. God bless you.
Oh, God bless. We had two visitors in the chat room, Girl Talk and Giggles. Thank you so much. And Jesse Brewer, RN. He said he loved the prayer.
Pastor Cynthia Lundy, she does Bishop Grant's YouTube and CDs for him, so she's a beautiful woman of God. So thank you, Pastor Lundy, for being with us in the chat room today. God bless you.
Oh, is that Girl Talk chat? Okay. Is that who? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to close out with Let the Church Say Amen. That was a
I want to introduce to you right now Joseph Smith and Brother. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman, be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word says.
Say.
God has spoken.
Let the church
say
amen.
Amen. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Make this your response.
Amen.
To whatever he said.
Amen.
From the healing of your body.
Amen.
To the raising of the dead.
Amen.
How your world is reeling.
Amen.
Battle on through the night.
Amen.
Cause you're gonna win the fight.
Amen.
Even in the valley.
Amen.
Or standing at your red sea.
Amen.
Continue to say.
Amen.
Cause your help is on the way.
Amen.
Why God has spoken. I heard him. So let the church say. Let the church
say,
all we needed was a word from the Lord. We've got it, so
let
the church
say,
oh,
let
the whole church
say,
God has spoken. Well, let the church say. Die, knowing that God is not a man.
Amen.
He just
churches.